and that, I believe, is taken care of. And again, I'd like to defer that to the department, but that was their only concern, is and a very, very valid concern, that we know where these claims are being handled at.
They didn't oppose the bill.
No, they did not.
Of course, opposing a bill that a chairman sponsors is maybe difficult for the
It's just blatant legislation.
Sure.
I would say, Senator Trow, that the trial lawyers have proposed a lot of my bills. So that's, trust me, that's not a concern of theirs.
All right. Okay. Any further questions that members have of Representative Shiprock? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your coming.
Thank
and telling
you.
Us about the bill. Let's hear from, I guess, the department next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome,
for the record, I'm Gary Weeks, Deputy Director of the Department of Insurance and Finance, and I've asked Mr. Larry Young to join me today, who is the section manager for the compliance section of the Workers' Comp Division. Let me tell you right off the bat, the department has not opposed this bill at any point. We have tried to work closely with Representative Shiprock to make this a bill that was manageable, that could be administered by the department for a reasonable cost. And we have acknowledged, I think, throughout the discussion of this bill, all of the very same concerns that Representative Shiprock has, in the sense that this is the kind of legislation that hopefully would encourage some companies to come into the market here. And
do we really need more competition on this market?
More competition would help us a great deal in this department, in this arena.
Okay.
And we've had insurers look at it. We've had applications.
I used to serve on the committee when Senator Groner was chair on the Senate side, and he thought probably if we just go away from all of this competition, go back to a single carrier.
Well, Mr. Chairman, now you're talking about a major policy issue here. And my response to you was, as long as you have a three-way system, what you want is competition. If you make a policy decision to go back to one way, sure, you don't care about the competition then at that point.
Right. But the kind of system we have, you think competition's needed, and this would help to bring some competition.
In any insurance market, competition is good for the consumer and for the employer, because it's going to drive the cost eventually down. So our concerns are some of the same as those reflected by Representative Shiprock, and beyond that, all we wanted to do was make sure this thing was administrative. We could administrate it within a reasonable price. Getting to your question about whether there's any kind of loss of control when you use these service contractors, I don't think that would happen. And this also, I guess, relates to Senator Hannon's remarks too. The service contractor is nothing more than that. The service that is providing service, the insurer, is always going to be responsible for that claim. If the contractor goes out of business tomorrow, the claimant simply goes straight to the insurer and says, I expect to be treated just as I would be treated as a claimant, regardless of whether you had the servicer or not. And the insurer is going to be held to that kind of a standard. So the insurer is not in a position of saying, I'm sorry, you know, we can't process your claim for X, Y, Z period of time because the company went out of business. The insurer has to meet the same standard as an insurer who doesn't use a service contract. That's the expectation that we would have.
Well, suppose that you had a company that really basically didn't want to honor many claims, and so they contracted out with one of these contracting companies that were really tough. I mean, boy, to get a claim honored was hard to do with that company. And so a lot of people were unhappy with the disposition of the claim in the hands there. They can, I suppose, appeal to the company. The company still likes what's happening. They don't do anything. Their other recourse is to get an attorney and come through the workers' comp system and cost us more money going through that system, right?
Let me ask Larry Young to address that for you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Larry Young, manager of compliance section.
Yeah.
Senator Crow, basically what we have is we already have a system set up to take care of these kind of problems. If it's an
I know that, but if you have a lot more of them, it costs a lot more money to take care of them that way than getting the claims honored, right?
Strictly speaking, from the number of volume of places in which we could get calls from on complaints, that would be true, but there's still going to be only X number of claims out there. So it basically would not go through the hearings process. We would have, if it was a problem, we would handle it through our benefit specialist section, and if they were unhappy with the way the claim was being processed as far as what they thought should be happening, then they would request a hearing. But if anything is not being done in accordance with our rules, we would handle that on a case-by-case basis, which we do all the time.
Right. The other thing is it would probably force them to go get an attorney. Some would be reluctant to do that. Many would go get an attorney. But one of the things we'd be concerned about is the amount of expense in this whole system that's soaked up by the attorneys.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. If I could just go back, this bill per se does not change anything that's currently going on.
Okay.
I mean, we have already allowed service companies into the state. All this allows is more than one service company,
sure.
And up to eight service companies or eight locations.
Okay.
So everything set in effect and insured through other statutes and other regulations is monitored. They have to be authorized to sell insurance. They have to meet certain requirements. Funds are available. In the event they do not meet their obligations, our audit programs are there, and our monitoring programs, our whole existence is to enforce the law, and it's set up. It is an increased cost for the purposes when you have additional places to go to audit, and additional, more places. There's going to be more workload, and that was really what our testimony was about.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah, go ahead.
Who's the only service company currently licensed in Oregon?
I'm sorry.
You said there was only one service company currently operating.
Excuse me. The way the statute says, way the statute speaks right now, without this bill, the insurance company has to be in the state, or they are allowed to use one service company at one location. And
I read them.
And that's what I was saying. So in
okay.
that sense, and there are several insurance companies who have elected to use a service company in lieu of being in state themselves.
Okay. The next question then is, on the service companies, are they licensed?
I do not believe they are licensed per se. Their agents are licensed through the insurance division.
Right.
But the
service company themselves are not licensed.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Why wasn't the issue raised on licensure of the service company itself so as to have some accountability for the actions of the agent? In other words, if an agent of Fred S. James were to, as the chairman suggested, be hard-nosed and not want to deal with a claim, there's no accountability against Fred S. James. The accountability is towards that one individual under the licensure. But if there's no other decision that's rendered, if I'm the claimant or if I'm the injured worker, I'm really not bringing my action against Fred S. James. I'm bringing my action against XYZ Insurance Carrier in Chicago, Illinois. Because Fred S. James is only a funnel, and his employee is the agent. Isn't that correct?
That would be the situation. But remember, the XYZ Insurance Company would still have to be authorized to sell workers' compensation in this state. He'd have to pass all those requirements. And it would be similar to what happens now. We audit a service company and find they're not meeting the standard performance, we issue penalties against the insurance company. Now, they are automatically going to go back to that service company and straighten. We don't even deal with the service company. Sometimes we give them we tell them that they can, for their benefit, we're going to start penalizing their insurance. They want to get their act together.
No, Larry, I think you're missing the point. The chairman, and the question I'm going to raise here is, I'm the claimant. I'm getting jacked around by the service company on my claim. And so my attorney files action against the insurance company. The insurance company says, well, that's the service contractor. We don't have any bearing on that. What's going to happen is my claim is going to be dangled out here because intentionally that's what the insurance company really wants the service company to do, is to put the brakes on as hard as possible on the pain of my claim. But through this process, I can't directly get at the insurance company because I have to go through this maze of the agent, the service company, before I can get to the company. And it doesn't deal with you through the Workers' Compensation Department until my appeal is aggravated at some point. Then I can go through Workers' Compensation Department to have you adjudicate the action against the company. But up until that time, I can get jacked around all I want by the insurance company because it's the insurance company's agent, in this case, the service contractor, that's doing the jacking around.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hamm, in a situation like that, as soon as that worker was being jacked around and he would call us up, we would call up the service company and say, what's the problem? And if we don't get the response that is correct, then we call up the insurance company and say, your service company is not performing for you. Want that corrected and changed right now? And that this happens in individual cases or in group things. If they don't respond, then we can ask them to come in and ask them why we should not have the director withdraw their right to sell workers' compensation in the state of Oregon. And they're out.
You know, I started raising these questions. But basically, these are questions that labor committees need to handle. I know this has been through one labor committee, and presumably it'll go to the Senate Labor Committee as well. I don't know whether it will or not. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't once they come to Ways and Means. But we need to talk about the fiscal impact. So now, as I understand it, we're going to have more competition. We may have a lot more of these contracting out of services, and each of these contractors can have as many as 8 locations if they want to, where you're going to have to go out and serve. Now, you've given a fiscal impact statement which indicates that for 89-91 it's $194,870 and you're going to need additional services and supplies and personal services. You're going to need one worker at 50.50 FTE and 3 other workers totaling 2 FTE. So you're going to take more staff to do this, right? And it's going to cost more. And Peggy says, and Peggy had to leave, but she said that this is based on a rather conservative estimate of what might happen over time. If this does bring a lot more competition, it may bring a lot more companies in, and there may be additional expenses that are a lot more than this. Maybe not this coming biennium, but if this becomes quite popular, it will be more expensive. So talk to us about the fiscal impact. We've already approved your budget. This is additional positions, additional money to do this.
Mr. Chairman, that's been one of our concerns all along, is what this bill was going to cost us to administer. And we have no idea how many individual centers, how many of these service people are going to opt to take up to 8 processing centers.
Yeah.
Right now, as Larry said, the important thing to understand is that they're here now. They have one center. They can expand from 1 to 8.
Are they likely to want to expand to 8? Why have 8?
Well, we know at least one company, Mr. Chairman, that wants to do that. That Fred S. James mm-hmm. wants to come in and get into the state and have more than one location for claims and other kinds of processing.
How many locations do they want, you know?
We're uncertain at that point, but this is a bill that they're largely interested in, and
the bill says up to 8.
Go ahead, Dan. Chairman, I think now I'd like to know the source of the funds. This extra work and so on, will that create some funds through fees?
It won't. I believe this will come out of the premium assessment.
So it's an added expense of a source that's already there.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, the revenue is there, and it comes from the 5.5% premium assessment.
I understand that, but it's going to come out of the general fund, really, because the surplus goes there.
No, Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, that's not correct. 5.5% is what we collect from every employer. 5.5% of the premium they pay goes into the insurance and finance fund, and it pays the cost of the workers' comp division and a portion of the cost of the insurance division.
And you can pay for all that out of that. You've got a balance that you can pay for.
The fund is substantial, and there are monies to cover this cost. You may want us to enter into this program at minimal level, and then as we need or if we need, come back, because we're shooting in the dark here. I mean, it's an honest answer to you that we do not know how many of these service organizations may want up to 8 locations.
Okay. There are two ways of handling this. One would be to put an appropriation in the bill at the minimum level, I think, for the biennium 89-91 of $194,870. Or the other is to have them report to the e-fund and fund this out of the e-fund later on. We've already dealt with their budget. Budget's right through. Is it through both houses?
No, sir. Mr. Chairman, it hasn't gone through either house. The budget went to the floor of the House and was re-referred back to Ways and Means.
So the budget is then in our hands. So we could.
It was on the floor, but because of the Labor Committee with the problems with the bill, their budget.
This budget bill, Mr. Chairman, my understanding is it was re-referred pending some decisions by the House Labor Committee on the board and the department's relationship and possibly some other.
This bill. Not this bill, but
no, I'm talking about House Bill 5008. Okay.
Then is revisit the budget if we wanted to, and put it in the budget. I don't know how we want to deal with it, and I guess we can make that decision now if you want. I think Peggy was going to suggest that we simply go ahead if we're interested in the bill, and move the bill along, send it full committee, and then full committee wants it, send it on the House floor. Representative Shiprock apparently is going to carry it there. And then we could decide what to do about the cost of the bill later if we wanted to.
Excuse me for butting in, I talked to Representative Shiprock a while ago, and he said that he thought that he would be ready with his labor committee for the bill in a week or 10 days. Because of the, he's making some progress on the bills that were the cause of us bringing the budget back here. So, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I think he said this bill's already been through his committee.
Right.
Okay. So
but I'm
this
talking would, about the budget bill.
The other bills, yeah. We didn't send that budget bill to his committee. It just came back to Ways and Means.
It went to the floor.
Yeah, and then it came back to Ways and Means. Yeah, to here.
To here.
Okay. Okay, so Mike, we're trying to figure out if we want this bill, there's a cost involved with it, how we deal with it. Peggy's suggestion was, although she's leaving it up to the committee clearly, was that we might just handle it in the if the bill does pass through the process of, in the e-board. The cost for this biennium is estimated at $194,000. That's one way of handling it. Another way is to put an appropriation in the bill and do it that way. The other way is, since the budget is still apparently in our hands, is to revisit the budget and do it that way. Do you have another suggestion?
This moment, broke and out of work. I
where are the interests on the, basically on the, kind of start on the House side to do something here with this? I think probably the best way to handle it is if the bill, you feel it should go forward after you've looked at the agency and how it relates, we probably ought to think in terms of letting it stand on its own and maybe an e-board appearance if it's appropriate. The problem you get into where we're trying to...
this is not a general fund.
That's true, and I just started to say that I think it's cleaner to try to address it right now if you think it's worth proceeding rather than...
just put an appropriation in.
Probably so.
What's the will of the committee? Do we want to proceed with the bill that came through the House Labor Committee and is here before us? The department's not opposed to it. Neutral, I guess, has explained to us that it does have a fiscal impact. And what's the will of the committee? Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, I would like to see the bill move on. I think it's got some merits in whatever can help us get workers' comp to do it. Whatever procedure you want to do, it isn't a general fund issue, so all we'd have to do in the e-board would be to give an expenditure limitation to allow them to perform.
Mr. Chairman, if there is some concern, if you have the same concern we do about the uncertainty of the cost, that one other option for you would be to provide the expenditure limitation but have it unscheduled and direct us to go through the executive department, present the evidence to the executive department so that they might schedule it as needed over the biennium, and that would prevent an e-board appearance, but it would also have the effect of having a controlling mechanism on the distribution of the money as needed, if that would help resolve some of the uncertainties.
Mike?
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we direct the staff to prepare a necessary amendment. I assume that's what has to go in here, that would in fact make an appropriation to extend the limit under the conditions that Mr. Weeks has suggested, and then bring that back to the subcommittee to look at.
That, Mike. Okay,
I don't know if Senator Hannon, I'd like to hear from Lynn whether he's sure. got problems with the concept.
No, I don't have problems with the idea. I think that we do need competition. My only concern that I express is, and I think you really should consider this, Gary, is proposing language to license service contractors, because there's absolutely no accountability for these people. They can have an unscrupulous agent going out here selling policy to an employer. And our assumption is that the insurer is still going to be held accountable to the employer. But the middle guy just walks away with the money in the pocket and laughs all the way to the bank.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, in thinking about this while you've been discussing it, one idea I have is that the bill provides that the agreement between the insurer and the service contractor has to be approved by the director. I'd like to look at whether we have the administrative authority to establish by administrative rule a requirement that before we would approve that contract, the service contractor must be a licensed agent.
I really think that
may be a way for us to get at it by administrative rule.
That's the only
rule.
Problem I have is that somehow the middle guy is cutting the deal and walking away and has no accountability in the mm-hmm. process.
Mr. Chairman, when you say the director, is that you or the other guy?
It's a two in the box, Mr. Chairman, Representative Bruce.
Okay. Lynn, did you want to amend the bill to do that or just have the...
Well, I'd rather visit with Representative Shaprack, because maybe we can do it on the Senate side once it's over there, but I'd rather not tamper with this bill without visiting with him on it.
Okay.
But I think it is an issue that we certainly need to look at, is that we have to have accountability in this process.
Okay. President Burton, what was it, your suggestion about the money?
As I understand what we're looking for is it would be to increase their expenditure limit by $194,000, and that the caveat be put on that that would require them to go through the executive department review process before they would be able to spend it, that that language be drafted, unless we just, I don't know if you want to make
Can
that.
Can you help us with that language, Garrett? You know what you have in mind.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Stinson and I can work on that.
Okay, and so that would be an amendment to the bill? Would appropriate the money? And
Mr. Chairman, I think all it has to be is if you reopen the budget and add this limitation to it, then there's a budget note that, that would say that that amount is unscheduled, pending, and can be rescheduled based on the approval of the executive department throughout the biennium.
Well, let's ask that, the co-chair if he wants to reopen.
That's fine. I don't say, it's up to you.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, isn't that the simplest way? Not sure. Anything in the bill, yeah. Pass it out. Do that in the budget bill.
Sure, that's.
There's so many ways to do it that it's just chartable course. You can pass the, you can, you know, as I said anything about it, you could pass the bill, and then the agency would come to the emergency board if you didn't do anything with the budget, or you can tie them together and.
Why don't we do it that way? Revisit the budget and put yeah. that thing in it, and just pass the bill out as it is. Okay. Is there a motion on the bill?
I'll move.
Okay. Representative Jones moves that we send House Bill 2348 to the full Ways and Means Committee with the due pass recommendation. Committee assistant will call the roll on the motion.
Representative Burton?
Aye.
Jones?
Aye.
Senator Hannan?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir. I come in with my hat in hand this morning. I think you have a missed signal on the corrections budget. It was more a matter of what if than something that, and I hope, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you personally, and that's why I come with hat in hand. I think the course that you had charted up until the momentary detour that roadblock that came up yesterday is the one we want to stay on. I do think that Representative Gilmore may have had a pretty good notion if we get into a worst case deal and we're trying to finesse this the corrections budget and the limit and a bunch of other stuff. But for the time being, I think I was able to brief last night some of the stuff you've done, and it looks great to me. Why don't you keep it as you had it before the trial balloon ran up, if that's okay.
That's fine.
I'm sorry about that. I think what happened, maybe some people got to talking about some what-ifs, and I don't think right. we're at that what-if stage at this moment.
Yeah. Okay.
That's okay?
That
sorry about
fine.
The sorry about the confusion.
We will not vote the bill out, though, for a while, right?
No, I'd keep it. There's just too many variables okay. on that particular subject area. That's okay with you. You've put it in good shape. You've spent a lot of time. You've got to hear from the folks on the master plan. I understand yet.
Right, yes.
I don't know that that'll change anything, but
they're
at least
to come forward. They said it wouldn't be ready for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Sorry about the miscue.
No problem.
Just okay. a moment of confusion.
Yes.
I understand.
Long session. Yeah. Right. Okay. I guess we're ready to go back to our. Is this all we have scheduled?
Come on up, Mike. Say anything you want. This is your chance.
You've got lots of money.
Yeah, come on.
Yes. Hey, yes. I got to go up to John Fitzherbert's office at 9 o'clock on the health insurance bill.
With judicial, that's what happened.
I'm helping him. Okay.
Is
it
judicial?
Supposed to meet with him there. Send me a shoemaker.
There they are.
Come back if you can,
wait. Yes. Yes, I will.
Okay. Good.
How long are you planning on going?
I think we'll probably go to 10:30. Go to 10:30.
Well, we have a 10:30.
Yeah, maybe a little before 10:30.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be back. Let's see.
Okay.
Let's get out of the way.
Welcome. Come on up and join us.
Sure.
Well, good morning. We're back in session. We're dealing again with the Judicial Department. Mr. Linden, you wanted to talk to us today about a number of items, including the Spangenberg Report.
That's correct.
What you want to do? All right. Why don't you proceed?
Thank you. For the record, I'm Bill Linden, State Court Administrator. I wanted to take just a moment or two to cover a couple of issues that came up on Monday, and also to briefly discuss some materials that were sent over yesterday to you. Yesterday, all the members of the subcommittee received the final copy of the Spangenberg Report, which you'll hear a discussion on in just a few moments. And that report materials included a cost analysis and a little background on the history of the study. We also provided to you a copy of the report of the Ad Hoc Committee on Indigent Defense Cost Reduction, which Representative Bauman and Representative Burton participated in. And Representative Bauman will be here at 10 o'clock to briefly discuss that effort. And we provided you with a fiscal impact statement on all of the new crimes or enhanced penalty bills that are currently pending in the legislature. And I would also mention we are working to assure that all the numbers